Hey, you may be seated. You may be seated. Welcome here on Camp Sunday. In just a moment, we're going to have a special video presentation of something that happened at one of our family nights, and I think you'll enjoy that. But before we do that, we really wanted to publish camp news, but we couldn't do that for this crowd. But we do have a few sample items that might have gone into the camp news. And camp news, you have to use initials, but because y'all wouldn't know who these initials are, we're just going to use the names. First of all, Pat Moore, the dentist called and said your dual head toothbrush is ready for both sets of teeth. Ooh. You know, a preacher friend of mine told her one time, as much as she talked, that she needed two sets of teeth. Rumor has it that Terry Rockwell has locked up a couple of midget Jehovah Witnesses in her closet at home. I don't know about this stuff. And I think he put this in here, but Russell Pierce needs a new computer. Not... He's got about 100. We heard that a certain family of four brothers, can you think of a certain family of four brothers, have written their Christmas list early, and all of them have asked for brand new tidy whities. Double XL. They can fit two boys in one pair. J.B. and J.B., they're brothers. Can you think of two brothers named J.B. and J.B.? That's right. Jonathan Barnes and James Barnes went to Pastor Dane with a special prayer request. It read, "Please find us a girlfriend. We'll be willing to share the same one." Ooh. You know, we've had a tradition of the brain trust in our church. It's usually teenage boys that haven't got enough brains to do anything because of some of the choices they make with dumb things. But Josh and Luke are going off to college now. And so Bailey Barnes is taking application for the next brain trust that will succeed them. Where's Jay? Oh, there you are, Jaden. Someone put this in. I don't know who put this in. And speaking of applications, Jaden is auditioning for her next boyfriend. So. Who is that? Well, okay. All right. And some wag put this in there. I don't know who did this, but Priscilla Westfield just beat Pastor Dane again at, and they just left it blank. Every morning we'd come out to salute the flag, and there'd be Dane's Hanes up on the flagpole again. And so you don't know about this one, but a few of you will. Rumor has it that Uncle Roy tried to walk on water while he was on vacation this year. We need to get him to tell that story. And rumor has it that a certain young lady in our church lost her calendar book. Do y'all know anybody that lost their calendar? Anybody? And the thing is, Becky had an appointment with me, but the gal that found the calendar kept the appointment. Gail has asked that no one lend Anthony anything sharp or that has teeth or looks like a saw. Next to the last, Regina has lost her walker again. And if y'all find it, please let us know. And finally, he thought he was going to get out of it, but Scott Gladden, the Wilmington Island Fire Department is trying to contact you at this moment. They want to do a demonstration. And that's the last one on our list. Hit it, John. Get the lights, Rick.
Lots of good food. I'm sure the campers to be in good mood.
Well, the
first thing you know, that camp really grew. He had to get some help from his old granny too.
Oh, great.
I told you to quit whittling in the house.
Ellie Mae, where you been?
Oh, I've been up to the cement pond on my critters. You know I have to take care of them. Elmer was a little scared, so I brought her back down here with me.
Critters? Speaking of critters, Granny, what's this up?
Yes, that's the way to critters. Help me have critters. Skunk.
Granny.
Peace, fruit of the spirit, patience and kindness too, self-control.
this mountain. Joy! Fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Fruit of the Spirit. Self-control.
bless God's holy name.
Something else that happens at camp is I get a chance to freelance a little bit. Y'all sit down for a second. I'm gonna give you a picture real quick of something that happens at camp. If you're curious as to where the Holy Spirit was this morning, it was right here in this area. At Pinora, the building that now has air conditioning, and those who are ever out there without it know that that is the biggest blessing ever. But the stage is about half this size, and there's two steps up to the top. And we always have some drudge mornings where we come in and we're just drudging in, you know, just to chunter on. Because there's nothing else to do. You have nothing left. You just drudge because you're exhausted. You don't have anything else. But there was this kid, and he was just standing right here all by himself. I can see his face right now. And all of a sudden, the whole crowd, all that dancing that you just saw, just parted away from him. Everybody kept dancing. Everybody kept moving. Everybody kept singing. And he had his eyes closed and his hand lifted up. And he was just praising. He was crying. Just weeping. But praising. Just pouring it out for God. For Jesus. To this day, if I see him in public, if I see his sister in public, there's nobody that can stand in the way between me and him. Because he has to wrap his arms around me. He has to hug me. That's what I did that day. I was broken by what I saw. I grabbed him. I pulled him in. I hugged him. We fell on the floor crying because we both knew that Jesus existed. His name is Cameron. He graduated from high school this year. I don't know anything about much else about him. I know that his background are things that you and I would never want to experience. I know that because of the love and sacrifice of Terry and Lynn and Sophia and all those people that would go down week after week to the Baptist Center to share with those kids that had nobody at home. You should have seen them eat. Whenever they would bring the food out, you should have seen them eat. They were hungry. But not just for food. They wanted love. And man, Cameron was getting a dose he didn't even know existed. Cameron, excuse me. And he's just there. Just a puddle of truth and love right there in the middle of us. A poor black kid and a rich white man. And if you don't consider yourself rich, travel. Get out. Just look around. Pay attention. Because this world is impoverished spiritually. And man, he was filled and he was full. The one thing I know about him, it says he has heard the truth of Jesus Christ. And nothing else matters. That is how we're supposed to approach life. When you get home from work, I shared the gospel in my work. Gary's fixed many air conditions. Mr. Brian's unclogged many a toilet. And it's allowed him the opportunity to share the truth of Christ. That's all they want. That's all they need. You should see Kadesha's smile now. We had one person. She was in charge of taking care of all of her brothers and sisters. She was 12. She couldn't read. You know what she said at the end of that week? Nobody said one mean thing to me all week. And she loves some Logie Bear. If I see her in public today, she can't. You can't get in the way. This is what we're talking about. This is what we want. This is where revival begins. It begins when we let loose, when we get out of the way, when we get out of the pew. It reminds me of a phrase, pew-wee! I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that Jesus. I grew up in that Jesus. It is not fun. And then I got introduced to this new Jesus. That's Mr. Bobby fixing my car. That's Mr. Bobby helping me know what decision to make to fix my brother's car. With Miss Julie coming by and praying for me because my back hurts. And it wasn't a physical hurt, it was a spiritual hurt. I was overwhelmed with the world. I had a baby that I had out of wedlock. Many churches would just completely write me off and forget me. Living with my wife, high dollar boy, $675 at the end of King George Boulevard. I was in the money. I was making $275 a week. I thought it was awesome. But I was broken. Mr. Gary, I got laid off at Centos. I called Mr. Gary. Because I can't tell Stephanie yet, because I don't want to send a text message. I got laid off. Didn't seem appropriate. And I'm sitting in the car. What am I going to do? I've got three kids. I've got bills to pay. I had this wonderful job, and I had this weird peace. Ever since the guy walked in and dropped the papers on the desk that I was laid off and all the people that worked for me were laid off, I had this sense of peace. It's all good. Call Mr. Gary. He's like, Gary, I can't talk to anybody else because I don't want everybody else to know because Stephanie deserves to know first, but I gotta talk to somebody. So I'm telling Gary the story, and I was like, all right, Stephanie's about to get off for lunch, and it starts to rain, and I said, Gary, man, I don't know if you're going to understand this, but I'm just going to say it. I said, man, it's starting to rain. I don't know if I'm supposed to put an umbrella up or just get wet. And we both kind of paused for a minute, and I said, I think I'm supposed to get wet. He was like, oh, yeah. Jesus calls us into the storm. He doesn't call us to comfort and relaxation. Into the storm. Are you obeying the nudge? Are you standing on the rooftop watching somebody else's wife bathe when you should be leading God's people to victory? I'm sorry. That was the introduction for the Lemon Award. All right. So our first lemon goes to someone that made a sacrifice he thought was just for himself but turned out to be for everyone. Mr. John Foxworthy, or Foxworth. Come on. John is receiving this lemon for sacrificially allowing Mr. Jim to borrow his shorts to be baptized. But from what I understand, the alternative is something we didn't want to experience. So, on the count of three, we're going to say, John, you need to suck on a lemon because you are awesome. All right. One, two, three. John, you need to suck on a lemon because you are awesome. All right. We got two more. Two more. You never know how many could be given out, though. Dana will attest to that. This lemon goes to one of the hot mics. Specifically, Gabriel. Did you all know the Drabeck's middle name is Mike? They're all hot mics. So, he looks like a complete man and human being. However, if you look a little closer or do a little investigating, you would know that he is missing his appendix. Well, do that one more time. That was good. Very good, very good. He's got the scar to prove it. I made him show me. We're going to keep that under wraps this morning. But on the count of three, we're going to say, Gabriel, you need to suck on a lemon because you are awesome. One, two, three. Gabriel, you need to suck on a lemon because you are awesome. And finally, I always have one of Miss Jerry's kids. One of those little wee tots that makes us happy and preaches the gospel just with their little feet as they walk across the tabernacle floor. A couple weeks ago, we had an experience I was looking forward to. I heard this rumor that there was this amazing, I saw pictures on Facebook. I saw bands full of fireworks. I heard there was this fireworks show that was going to happen at the Mannings. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be good. I got two things I want to happen. One or the other is going to be okay, but I want at least one to happen. One, I want it to go off without a hitch and be amazing. Two, I want it to utterly fail. I mean, just flat on your face, bomb. So, God is good. God is good. Matt, Scott, they're all out here lighting mortars. I mean, we had watched this barge of beautiful technographic firework going out. Scott, I never saw his front side that day. All I saw was his backside, twisting, and I don't know what all he was doing. They kept leaving the barge. They kept going back. They had given up at this point. And all of a sudden, we'd already heard Hannah Montana sing too, but all of a sudden, it just erupts into this glory. I think it's the finale. The barge catches on fire. It continues to burn into a huge inferno. And I was like, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. Next thing I know, I see Tim Farmer. He's got a kitchen fire extinguisher this big. We gonna go put it out? I was like, no, I'll go get the big one. So me and Matt, we pull up to the firework thing. There's no fireworks. It's just a blazing inferno at this point. As soon as I pull the pin and start laying down that stuff, Matt starts backing up. I was like, oh, gosh. So we sit there for another 34 minutes, 35 minutes. It's just burning, 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 burning. We finally get it put out. It was everything I wanted. Complete and utter failure, an amazing firework display, all rolled up into one. So for that, entertaining, dangerous, fun, you name it. For that, remember, this goes to the wee tot of Miss Jerry. We're going to give this to Mr. Scott Gladden. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Standing O, standing O. Oh, yeah.
Very good. I'm telling you, Scott worked so hard on it. All right. On the count of three, we're going to tell Scott to suck on a lemon because he is awesome. One, two, three. Scott, you need to suck on a lemon because you are awesome.
You look awesome. All right. How many of you have never been to camp at Pine Nora with us, even for family? Who has never been up to Pine Nora at all? But we're talking. Get your hands higher. I can't see that. Come on. Okay. The thing about Pine Nora is this. It's what God did do. It's what He is doing because it's what He wants to do. I remember last year when Elisha Farmer looks at me and says, "When are we going to dance?" Do you know what Pine Nora and summer camp is? It's the same thing. It should be for everybody here that says Jesus is Lord of their life. You know what that is? It should be full of stories.
Amen.
It should be full of God doing things in our lives. John put up. John? We don't even have this at camp. In fact, here's what I usually do at camp, but I know some of y'all can't see me. We just talk, don't we? We serve an awesome God. Amen, Tim? Priscilla, do we serve an awesome God? You say that for a reason, don't you? Lori Stein, do we serve an awesome God? And we do. There's a story in the Bible about a young man. Came from a wealthy family. He decided he would ask his father for his part of the inheritance. He was the younger son. The dad said, "Sure, you can have your millions. You can have all the money. You can have all the candy. You can even have the good car. I'll send you with it." Prodigal son took it. He left. He wasted everything. Everything. Wasted everything, Elisha. He wasted everything, David. He wasted everything, Teresa. He was in a foreign country. All by himself. All by himself. You ever felt alone? Anybody here felt alone before? Okay, the rest of you don't have any hands up. You're just lying. About 4 out of every 7 days, I feel lonely. So I know you're lying. But when he went to that country and he screwed it all up, he had a choice to make. And here was the choice. Do I believe my father loves me more than my poor choices? You've been given so much. I've been given so much. I have eternal life because of Jesus. So this son, he was in a foreign country. How do we know he's in a foreign country? Because he was in a country far away. We don't really know how far, but it says he was feeding pigs. I know, I agree. Ooh, Elisha, ooh.
I used to do that.
And if, yeah, Joe used to do it. He still smells a little bit like, anyway, that's okay. So he decided one day that he would go home and he would say these words. He would say these words. "Dad, you didn't give me enough. I need more." No, he didn't say those words. He said, "Dad, I've messed up. Didn't really do anything good with what you gave me. In fact, I'd have wasted it all on things that I shouldn't have been doing, saying the things I shouldn't have been saying, spending money in ways I shouldn't have been spending it." And he walks up to his dad and he says, "Dad, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven." His dad looks at him and he says, "Son, come here. Let me hug you. Let me love on you." His dad didn't tell him all the things he had done wrong. His dad didn't tell him all the things that he should have done. His dad simply held him. And he said to his servants, he said, "My boy's home now. Go get him a new coat. Go get him some
shoes that fit him. And I need you to put a ring on his finger that says he's part of my family. Now I want you to think about something for just a second. All of us need to hear this. That young man had the walk of shame that day, those days. We don't know how far it was. By the way, the story really took place sometime or another. So he had to walk. Any of you ever been in trouble and you knew you were going to have to face your parents and your parents were going to say, tell me what happened? Oh, is there testimony on this side of the room? Oh, I want you to think about something for a second. Often when you've had to tell your family, tell your spouse, tell your friends, whatever, that you've sinned against them, a lot of times they may already know. Yeah, I know you screwed it up. This dad did something that I want you to think about what God... Remember that story thing about camp? Remember that story thing today for us? For us is this. The father in the story already knew what the son had done, but he was looking for him to come home. And he wasn't looking to shake his finger and say, you shouldn't have. Shame, shame on you, shame on you. He did this. He did this. How many times would a good embrace from somebody that means something to you on your worst day, on the bad day, the day you've messed it up, would move you down the road, meaning I know that I'm loved? Because you know one of the things that I think was going through that young man's heart as he walked? I think he was going to wonder, does my dad still love me? Did my dad ever love me? Can he love me from this point forward? Shame. Do you know what our way off in the distant country is? Do you know what it is for all of us? You ready? Here's the distant country we live in. You ready? Me, myself, and I. That's our distant country. Me, myself, and I. How's it going to benefit me? And when we live in that country, and when we pay the price to live in that country, when we sell out our values, the things that we know we should be doing, it begins to separate us. And then we struggle. Today, I want you to move from the land of me, myself, and I to embrace that you are His beloved and you are His loved and how that can change the world. But most of all, how it can change your world. Some of you are dealing with uncertainty. Some of you are dealing with questions. God says, come to me. I've been looking for you. In fact, the Bible says the dad did something very unusual. Very, very unusual. Joe, do you like to run?
Yeah, I love to run.
You love to run, Tim? James, do you love to run? Bailey, you love to run? Sometimes. Sometimes we will run when we know we're going to get something we want. And it said the dad was looking off. He was looking off. And then he finally saw his boy coming. But instead of waiting, he ran to him. He pulled up his royal robe. He got his Nikes ready. And he was off to the races. Because here's one of the greatest things ever about God. He's coming to us through Jesus Christ. All we have to do is get out of the land of me, myself, and I. Get all that country called what's in it for me. And say, I will be embraced by the Father's love. The Father's love. It's powerful. Remember that I told you earlier that all of us have stories? I mean, I want you to think about something. Logan, if I asked you today to tell stories about camp, you would probably have dozens and dozens of stories. Some of them you couldn't repeat, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Dozens and dozens. Josh, Jay. I didn't even make fun of Regina yet. Because it meant something. It meant something. If your relationship hasn't impacted you, it doesn't mean anything. Has it impacted you? Has Jesus impacted you? Has the Father's embrace impacted you? Or are you still groveling at the ground saying, I've sinned? And he's saying, I know you've told me. Now I'm ready to embrace my love and my forgiveness and my grace so we can tell stories. Why do we struggle so much with this being this and not this being the way of life? Why do we struggle with that so much? We really do, don't we? Some days it's just hard. Sometimes it's just hard to be 8 and 9. Sometimes it's hard to be a lot older than 8 and 9. But the Father's embrace, the Father's love. What a story to tell. Those moments. Man, I thought about telling you camp stories, but all I do is cry. Because I think of hundreds that have gone before you. Are you willing to embrace God's love in your life? Are you ready and willing to embrace God's love in your life? I just want you to think about that for a moment. I'm just going to begin to pray. I ask you to think about God's love in your life, that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to take all the things that we have done that do not please Him, that do not please our parents and our friends and our family that we know we've said and done wrong. And ask Him, are you willing to embrace that forgiveness and that grace that He's offering? So I'm just going to begin to pray for us and ask you to think about these things, okay? This is going to be kind of like our ministry time today. So I just want you to be thinking about it. God is a God of love. Let's just pray. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, I thank You today that You stand at the ready. You stand at the ready to tell us again and again You love us. That we don't have to live under that shamefulness. That we don't have to live under condemnation. That there is freedom in Christ. God, what do You need to free us from today? What fear just kicks us up and down every day? What worry can we not let go of? What anxiousness controls our mind? What thoughts that just weigh on our hearts? God, I'm asking You to just come and minister to us right now. What is that? For those of you who have cards and envelopes, you can be filling those out this time. God, help us to sort through life to know what You're saying and what You're doing. And I mean today, right here, right now, today. We just begin to worship and praise You, Father. Thank You, God. Thank You. But I just feel like I need to talk to God a little bit more, and You just happen to get to over here. Father, I think there's just, I'm just in this room right now, I think there's some oppressive confusion. I'm asking You to lift that oppressive confusion. Father, thank You for the privilege of telling others what You have done and are doing in our lives. Thank You, God, for the privilege of embracing You. Thank You, God, for the privilege that You're always calling us back to Yourself when we've messed it up. God, thank You. Thank You. If you need somebody to pray with, you can get whoever you want to pray with. Altar is open. You can bring your cards and envelopes at this time. I'd encourage you to pray this prayer. It's going to be dangerous and it might change a lot of your life from this point forward. But I encourage you, I'm going to challenge you with something. Just bow your heads and close your eyes again, everybody. Here's my challenge for you. Are you willing to pray today and say, God, I cannot get enough of You. Give me a want to want so much more of You and so much less of me. Are you willing to pray that prayer? Are you willing to move out in that kind of faith? God, we want to want You more. God, we have lived in a far country of me, myself, and I. God, we make selfish decisions. God, we make self-preserving decisions. God, we make decisions based on what's for our reputation. Father, the fact is that the only reputation that matters is Yours. The only name that matters is Yours. The only glory that matters is Yours. The only honor that matters is Yours. And God, it doesn't happen from 11 to 12. It's who we are. It's what we are. It's whose we are. It's what You're doing in the earth today. God, there's hardness of heart. There's bitterness. There's callousness here. God, I'm praying you give us a heart of flesh. God, give us a heart that seeks God, that wants God. God, I want to praise you for what you're doing. I want to praise you for what you've done in camps past. I want to praise you for the people that God faithfully pray for that every year and intercede and cry out. I thank you for them. I thank you for that faithfulness of those people. If you look this way for a moment, serious thing for you to contemplate. We see got Maya and Hope and Logan's back here with us today. It's good to have, you know, they're getting older, aren't they? No. You know, one of the things we love about summer camp is we get to see people that we don't get to see the rest of the year, and we get to be with them. We have allowed life to dictate to us priorities instead of God dictating the relationships in our lives that impact eternity. I challenge you today with something. Make that phone call. Go by and see that person. Regina, how many hours have we spent at Pandora in the after hours back there around those couches? Maya, Logan, James, and others laughing, saying stupid stuff. Some of you, that doesn't mean anything. I don't care. It's been a blessing. Why run past a blessing? A blessing. A blessing. A blessing. I didn't feel like today all of you were prepared for my dance moves that I show at camp. So I didn't bust those out, okay? We want to pray for Tommy and Sarah, Jensen and Mason. Mason up here too? Or Jensen up here too? He's still in the back, isn't it? Why don't you tell us where you're getting ready to go? And
or do you want Sarah to do you? I'm about to head out for a few weeks to the Republic of Georgia, do a little NATO training mission over there. Should be a blasty blast.
Okay. So we want to pray for him today and the kids and Sarah. Maybe we should start with Sarah, and then we'll work our way to Tommy. But no, if you guys want to come down here, we're going to pray over them, anoint them. Tommy, can you report back and tell if they have an accent over there that's like our accent or if it's different?
Oh, sorry,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
In the front line. Okay. Right. I'm not going to pick you up.
Well, Tommy, we anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you too, Sarah, you are a family and you are a blessing. And Mason and Jensen, Adeline, what a huge blessing they are. And God, we thank, first of all, we thank you, Tommy, for serving our country. You're serving us by serving our country. And so we say thank you, God, and thank you, Tommy, and this family for your willingness to do that. God, I'm praying for his physical protection, his spiritual protection, his emotional protection. And God, I'm asking you right now to strike down the plans of evil that may be being formulated or formed against him. Going over there between the now and the then. And God, I am asking for your supernatural divine power to be with Sarah and the kids, especially in the lead up and the absence. I pray for supernatural strength. I pray for supernatural peace. And you know, God, I pray that while they're separated by distance, there'd be supernatural unity though. You can do those things. God, I pray you'd use Tommy before, during, and after. God, I pray that he would keep his eyes on you, keep his mind on you. And God, I pray that you will protect this family. I'm asking God for that covering. Lord, I'm asking you today to give Tommy and Sarah ears to hear and give Tommy words to speak. I ask for this time to be anointed and blessed. We love you. We thank you for them again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Mr. Gary, you got something? And don't forget the picnic at Forsyth as soon as we leave here.
like Jehovah. There is no God like Yeshua. 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 There is no God like Jehovah. 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 Oh, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Thank you.